James, it's that time of year again.
What time is that?
Free agency time.
Oh, that time when Pittsburgh normally doesn't do much.
Well, we're not going to be able to do much this year either.
Got to keep those free agents in your own, though, right?
We'll find out.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Oh, James, I am great. As always, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. There's stuff to talk about this week.
We've got a lot of news.
There's some stuff that doesn't happen real often for us, and I'm excited. We got our first download in the state of North Dakota. Shout out to you people in North Dakota. Much love.
Absolutely. Hey, you want to know what would be funny? If we had some of our rivalry teams have to shave their head and maybe put our logo on, wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah. Shout out to whoever you Steeler fans are that listen to us that have a friend by the name of Doug who's a Ravens fan.
Yeah, this poor soul placed a bet with his buddies who are the Steelers fans, and he lost that bet. No shocker there. Ravens fans, sorry, you guys just get on your high horse a little too quick. Granted, I know some of us Steelers fans haven't gotten off of ours when we should have, but the fact of the matter is, don't bet against our Pittsburgh Steelers. We have an email from Doug who said this to us.
Hey guys, I'm here because two of my buddies who are diehard Steelers fans. I hate to say it, but I'm a Ravens fan. After the 2019-2020 season, I was bragging about the victories and talking trash. My buddies challenged me to a bet that I never thought I'd lose on the 2020-2021 season, so I took the bet and lost. I'll be getting my head shaved and then painting up the Steelers colors, logo, etc. As part of my bet, I also get to reach out to you guys. They thought you'd love to hear about this, and they had hoped you might want to cover this. It's a bit humbling reaching out, but here I am. Let me know your thoughts.
Well, here are our thoughts.
Doug, you are a hell of a good sport, sir.
Doug, we want a picture. Okay, that's all I have to say. We want a picture. We want to be able to have a Zoom call with you. We want to talk about this bet with you. If you want to reach out again, we would love to hear from your friends as well. It'd be awesome to get you guys on a Zoom call and see possibly how the bet came out, what the bet was, all that other stuff.
And I'm sure you have pictures, so feel free to tag that picture on our Facebook page on the link to this episode of the podcast. You do it in the comments. And we're going to make some stuff happen, man.
We will. We will make a ton of things happen.
Absolutely. So I appreciate the email. Any of you not named Doug or not Doug's friends, feel free to email us because this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen. We're going to read it.
We're going to read it.
We're going to have some fun with it. Absolutely.
So now we talked about this last week and we told you guys what we were going to be doing. We're going to be going over the long list, the 24 players on our free agency. The big things before we do that, though, the cap was raised. We talked about this a little bit before. It previously was $175 million. It is now $180 million.
And this is the floor, so the salary cap cannot be less than $180 million. They had previously said that it could be as low as $175 million, which would have been absolutely awful for Pittsburgh. $180 is a lot better. And in addition to that, Cameron Hayward actually restructured his contract today. That does not make him any more or any less money, but it gives him guaranteed money up front. So he gets a big old chunk of change and a big old bonus. More of the money gets kicked down the road, so it's a higher salary cap hit in future years. But guess what? We've got plenty of salary cap space in the future. That $7 million was huge. That gets us pretty dang close. I want to say they're only like $7 or $8 million over the cap now.
Yeah, you restructure Ben, get Ben down to possibly $30 million cap hit. That would be huge. So we'll have to see what happens there. But, James, where do you want to start today talking about free agents?
So there's three different categories when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers' own restricted free agents, exclusive rights free agents, and unrestricted free agents. So the difference between the three of them here, your exclusive rights guys, think of it as if you drafted a rookie player, right? Every rookie player gets a four-year contract. If you're a first-round pick, you have the option for a fifth year on it. The team gets to decide whether or not you get it. Sorry, you don't get that choice. But the exclusive rights guys are basically guys whose contracts were up before the four-year contract would have been. So the team owns all the rights to them. So it depends on how many years you've been in the league, as to how much the tag is for you. The Steelers have three exclusive rights free agents this year. The most notable one being Robert Spillane. He will only count $540,000 against the cap if they decide to go ahead and offer him that contract. There's no reason they wouldn't. Marcus Allen and J.C. Hasenhauer are the other two. J.C. would be the same exact cost. Marcus Allen slightly higher at $615,000 because he has an extra year in the NFL.
Yeah, I think there's no reason you wouldn't bring back all three of these guys with Absolutely. How low the cost is. And especially the safety position, that you're going to find out there's more safeties on this list. Even though Marcus Allen came in and played mostly linebacker this year, he can still transfer over and play that safety position if need be. So the versatility that he offers especially will bring him back. We lost Marquise Pouncey. You got to bring back J.C. Hasenhauer, even if it's just for depth at the offensive line. And then Robert Spillane had a pretty good year. We talked about that last week. So yeah. I think you bring all three back.
Yeah, I'm big on Spillane coming back. I think he's got potential. He could end up actually being a starter opposite Devin Bush the upcoming season, depending on what Pittsburgh does in the draft. I doubt they do much in free agency to bring anyone in. Marcus Allen showed some upside and is actually really good on special teams. So as a depth inside linebacker, I definitely want to keep him around. And just like you said, J.C. Hasenhauer, there is nobody else at center right now. Pouncey's gone. Hasenhauer was the only other center on the team. So you got to bring him back. There has to be somebody who knows the system and can snap a football. Hasenhauer can do that. So you bring him back.
Yeah. Moving on to the restricted free agents. These guys are a little bit different as far as cap hits.
So you've got four different options when it comes to restricted free agents. These guys have typically been on your team for 3 years, or at least in the league for 3 years. The first option is you can tag them with a first-round value. So it's a first-round tender, they call it. If you do that, that allots for $4.6 million on their hit against the cap. Also, that means if an opposing team decides they want to sign them from you, they have to give you their first-round pick. So that's the benefit for you if you tag somebody with a first-round pick. The next one is second round. Tag them with the second round. It's $3.25 million against the cap. Still a fairly large number. Same idea. They have to give you their second-round pick if they go ahead and do it. Next two are the original round tender, which that would fall for basically anybody in any other category. It's $2.13 million on that. Or the right of first refusal, also the same exact dollar amount, $2.13. And what that does for you is, let's say someone else offers, like Zach Banner, for example, an offer. We would then get the opportunity to match that dollar amount. And if we match it, he signs with us, not with the other team. So that's what you get with the restricted free agents. So a small number of guys, restricted free agents. Cody, what do you got on the list of those?
So we got three guys here as well. You have Ray McLeod, who arguably the best kick returner we've had, punt returner we've had since Antonio Brown. I would say that's pretty easy to say that.
Yep.
He hasn't quite Sparta kicked a Browns punter yet, but no, you never know.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
I'm holding.
Maybe a Ravens. Point. Maybe a Ravens punter. We'll see. Doug, this is for you.
Look out, Doug.
We have also Jared Hawkins, offensive lineman. I think, again, offensive line depth and being as cheap as he could possibly be, they may bring him back. I'm okay if they don't, personally, but they may. And then the last guy you're looking at is Ola Adeniyi. So we love Ola here. I think we keep him. Solid linebacker depth on the outside. I don't know why you wouldn't keep him.
Yeah, and I think you absolutely have to keep Ola of the three, right? Because he's the number one backup outside linebacker right now. And behind him, all there is what, Cassius Marsh, Jayron Elliott. Those guys have really very little experience.
No, and they're free agents as well. So.
Yeah, so they're on the list. We're going to talk about them. I think it's a no-brainer with Ola. You bring him back. It's a really low dollar amount. Hawkins, if you do bring him back, he's probably the number one backup tackle day one, assuming that you're able to bring back Zach Banner. So I would be okay with bringing back Hawkins just because it's inexpensive. You're probably going to draft a tackle anyway this year who could possibly push him out. But you usually keep four tackles. So You know, maybe you keep Hawkins and he competes with your Anthony Coyles and Jaron Jones and those kind of guys. Ray-Ray McLeod, again, for that dollar amount, I'm all in on bringing Ray-Ray back. I think Ray-Ray was a pretty exciting guy in open space. And I think with the evolution of what we're going to see with Matt Canada's offense, he's going to be one of those guys that get a lot of jet sweeps and wide receiver screens. And he's got the ability to make people miss and make something happen out of plays like that. So I'm in on keeping Ray-Ray on such a cheap deal.
Yeah, he's basically the younger version of Darius Heyward-Bey when we had him for a short period of time. Still made some pretty crazy plays on those end-arounds and stuff, so we'll have to see. And then lastly, we have the unrestricted free agents. This is the majority of those guys, 18 of them to be exact, qualify as unrestricted free agents. Basically what that means is they are open to talk to other teams. Other teams are open to communicate with them, and they can sign with basically whoever they want.
There's no rules!
Sad. Kind of sad. We'll see.
The only rule is that you can't talk to them if you're an opposing team before the deadline, which is midnight, I think sometime in March.
I think it's, early March.
So it's coming. It's around the corner. It's a few weeks away at this point. But that's where things get exciting, because the guys on this list, which is a long list, Pittsburgh can still sign these guys before free agency actually starts. So they do have the opportunity to do this. It looks like it's, March 15th here?
Yeah, so teams are allowed to negotiate with the agents of prospective unrestricted free agents during a two-day period beginning March 15th at noon and then ending at 4 p.m. March 17th. So it's a very short period.
That's the tampering period.
Tampering. That's what they call it.
Which used to be illegal, but somehow is now legal. I don't get it. But anyway, so long list of guys here. We're going to start at the top in no real particular order and just kind of go through all of them and give you our opinions as to keep or no keep and how we'd like to do it. So number one on the list that we've got in front of us is Bud Dupree. One of the biggest names coming into this. Had he not torn his ACL in last year's games, I do believe Bud would be getting probably $15 million a year plus.
And we would not be signing him. Not even talking about it.
Correct.
However, with that knee injury, James and I think both agree, he may have to sign a prove-it deal. Whether with us or another team, he may need to sign a one-year deal being 28 years old already. You got to prove that you can still do it after recovering from your knee injury. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh tries to retain him. I think... not to get too far ahead, but the two guys that are biggest concerns for me personally would be Bud and Juju. And I think Bud is more valuable at this point in where our offense and defensive standpoints are. I think Bud is more valuable to us as a whole. So I think we keep Bud if it's possible.
I think that personally, it's not going to fit in the budget this year. I think that they really value Alex Highsmith. And if you bring back Bud Dupree, it's basically saying, sorry, Alex, you're just going to be a bench warmer for us and that's it. I don't think they're going to do that to Alex Highsmith. The only way I really see Bud coming back is if somehow nobody's willing to sign him for much of anything and they can get him back on like a $5 or $6 million one-year deal, which I doubt he'd sign for anywhere near that low. Plus, the flip side of this too is imagine Bud does sign a one-year prove-it deal with someone, goes back into free agency in 2022. Let's say maybe Alex Highsmith doesn't have as good a year as we think he's going to have, because personally, I think the kid's got a ton of potential. I think he will have a good year in 2021. But what if he doesn't? Pittsburgh's going to have an insanely high cap space, and they'd be able to bring him back.
Yeah.
So if he signs a one-year prove-it deal with another team, it's not the end of the world. You could possibly see Bud come back, but I think he's probably going to end up on another team. I just don't see how you can prioritize him and still afford some of these other players as well, which I think are going to be a little bit more important to the starting defense, starting offense, that sort of thing.
That's fair. Next guy on the list we have is Avery Williamson, who is also an unrestricted free agent. I'm going to start off by saying right now, if we sign him, I'm done.
You're not.
I'm leaving. Listen. I'm gone. I'm out. Avery Williamson, worst linebacker on the team.
Oh, come on.
In coverage.
Yes, that's very, very much so clear. So Avery Williamson was a stud against the run sometimes, was a casualty against the pass all the time. and neither one of us want him back. The only plus side here is that he is a guy that fills up the stat column. So if somebody doesn't do their proper homework on him and signs him to a nice deal outside of Pittsburgh, which is exactly what we're hoping for, he will factor into the compensatory formula, which will help Pittsburgh with draft picks in 2022. So that's what I'm hoping for, is Avery to get his big payday anywhere but Pittsburgh.
Anywhere. Go to Baltimore, man. Yeah. Go join Doug. It'll be fine.
Doug will love you.
neither of us think Avery Williamson will be back. We'll have to see what happens there. Alejandro Villanueva is the next guy on the list. Pittsburgh has already basically said, hey, we're not going to re-sign Alejandro. Sad to see him go. My wife's favorite player by far.
How does she say his name?
Alejandro Villanueva.
I love it.
That's how she loves to say it. So I think that's an easy one. He's not coming back. I would love to have him back, but we can't afford him, period. And he's upwards 33 years old. He has a short career left, more than likely.
Yeah, it's sad seeing the end of Villanueva's career coming to Pittsburgh, most likely. You really have a huge question mark there at the left tackle position if you don't bring him back, but I still think that's the way Pittsburgh's going to go, is not bring him back, just because someone's going to pay him. Alejandro's got too much good tape out there for no one to be willing to pay him a large amount of money, and there's only so much they're going to be able to do to get under the cap. Pittsburgh will get under the cap. They will re-sign some of these free agents, but it's not likely that any of them are going to be the high dollar amount ones. I think if any, there's one, and I don't think it's going to be Villanueva. So appreciate all the efforts Villanueva has put forth to Pittsburgh, but I think they move on from him, and I think it's the right decision.
Yep. Next guy on the list would be the right tackle, Matt Filer, who played multiple positions while he was with Pittsburgh. Again, he's kind of in a similar situation as Alejandro. Pittsburgh just doesn't have enough to probably keep him, and there's enough film out there of him playing well that he's probably going to get a decent payday from somebody. Not quite as much as Alejandro is capable of, but the benefit Matt Filer has is he is younger.
Yeah, so Filer is sitting at 29 years old. You're not going to expect him to get much better than he is right now. I feel like his best position was right tackle. I really expected him to play a lot better this year as a left guard, and it just didn't happen for him. He really never got comfortable there. You didn't really see him get pushed around, but he didn't execute on pulls, and he didn't drive people down the field like you're expecting either. So I feel like he was less of a casualty at right tackle. But still, that's not what you're looking to describe someone as less of a casualty at a different position. So I feel like Matt Filer, if you could bring him back for an inexpensive, like $2 or $3 million a year kind of deal for 2 or 3 years, you bring him back because he's better than what you have behind that, right? There's not much depth at tackle or guard. He can play both positions. So I'm okay with him on a moderate deal. But if he wants $4 or $5 million a year, I'm out, because you don't want him starting over Okorafor. You don't want him starting over Dotson. So I just don't see a natural spot for him.
No, and especially when there's other free agents that we could possibly look at. Derwin Gray is going to be a free agent who we had previously on the team up until this past year when he was picked up in the transition between practice squad and active roster. There's other free agents or even drafting players that could possibly make more sense with that tackle position or offensive line in general. Next guy on the team is going to be Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton had a phenomenal career in Pittsburgh for being a nickel corner, probably arguably one of the greatest blitzing corners that Pittsburgh's ever seen. And because of that play, he's probably going to get a payday. Someone put his worth at somewhere near $7 million as far as contract is reported. Pittsburgh does not have that money. That's just the way it is.
And a little backstory on Mike Hilton for those of you that are a little bit newer to it here. He was part of the 2015 draft year. Was not drafted that year. Pittsburgh selected Senquez Golston, who was actually his college teammate, one of the other cornerbacks there, in the second round that year. Senquez got injured very early in the preseason, never even made it to the first preseason game. And that's when Mike Hilton came in as a tryout player. He won the tryout, ended up making the team, turned into an excellent career with Pittsburgh. Honestly, probably one of the better nickel corners, if not the best nickel corner Pittsburgh's ever had. He's been really impressive in short areas. His quickness is insane. Like you said, blitzing the quarterback, he's awesome. He's awesome against the run. He's going to get paid. Somebody's going to pay him some money that Pittsburgh cannot afford when they're already spending over $10 million on Steven Nelson and over $10 million on Joe Haden. You can't sink another $7, $8 million into Mike Hilton when you might have other solutions that can play the nickel position that are going to be probably more affordable. Would I like to bring Mike Hilton back? Yes. If the salary cap was about $40 million higher, I would say let's bring him back. Absolutely. I don't think they will be able to afford to do it. Now, the next guy on the list, though, I think they will be able to afford is a big guy by the name of
Tyson Alualu.
Yeah.
Not Alualu, as everyone can say, all the announcers were saying. We do believe that there's a chance they could afford him. He is older, 34 years old. That might deter some people from signing him. And if that happens, I think Pittsburgh can get him back on a cheap enough deal. I don't think either one of us would say that we're against that because he's been playing so well at the nose tackle. And it gives us that depth at the D line. It really does. But again, 34 years old. If he gets a contract somewhere else that's more than $1 or $2 million, he's gone.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh would probably consider up to $2.5-3 million maybe on him, but past that, it's kind of hard to justify. Tyson had a good year as a nose tackle last year for Pittsburgh, better than I think we thought he would, especially since he had not played nose tackle yet in his entire career. So I'm on board with bringing Tyson Alualu back on the cheap. I think Pittsburgh will be able to do it. He's having fun playing football again. Played his whole career in Jacksonville on a team that was just a losing team year after year after year, playing kind of out of position. Now he's playing a position that he's really good at and having some of the best years that he's had as a professional. So I'm in on bringing Tyson Alualu back. The next guy I'm all in, and I think they'll be able to get him back cheap, and I think he could start for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Zach Banner has already been called by Mike Tomlin, his answer for 2021. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty important as far as expecting to get him back in this offseason. He's 28 years old. He's probably not expecting a massive payday just for the fact that he also had a knee injury early on in this year and kept him out for most of the year. But I'm excited because I'm 99% sure he's coming back. And he played well.
He didn't have enough tape out there for anybody to see him play that well, right? I mean, it was one game. He tore his ACL in the very first week. So Zach looked like he was in the best shape he's ever been in his entire career, which only gives us reason to be optimistic for him coming off of it. A guy that size, you imagine Pittsburgh might consider possibly moving him to the left side. We'll see. It just depends on him or a core four who might be better at doing it. But I think a fully healthy Zach Banner is absolutely something you want to bring back. And I would think probably one-year prove-it deal is what you see with him. If he's able to stay healthy and has a good year, maybe this is somebody you give that big, you know, $10 million a year kind of deal to for a three or four-year deal. And let's see what he can do. I think Zach could be the answer for us at one of the starting tackle positions. And I'm looking forward to seeing him back out there again.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, James. Next guy on the list, Cassius Marsh, 29 years old. I think if you can sign him cheap enough, and when I say cheap enough, I mean pretty dirt cheap.
League minimum.
You keep him.
Yep.
He was a phenomenal special teams player all year, and if that's all we get out of him, that's totally fine. That's literally my input on him.
And he was signed late in the year off of the Indianapolis Colts practice squad. And just like Cody said, he was excellent on special teams. At this stage in his career, you don't expect him to turn into a great defender magically. That is probably behind him. But as far as depth at the outside linebacker position, he adds that. So definitely somebody I'd be interested in bringing back at league minimum, but not really above league minimum. Next guy I'm going to start off with first because I think we have slightly differing opinions on how we want Pittsburgh to handle this, and that's a wide receiver by the name of Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm not sure if you've heard of him before. Was the number one receiver for Pittsburgh last year. Really put together a solid performance when a lot of players on the team were struggling with the drops. I felt he had a lot of undue criticism just for being a young guy having fun. And what I like about him is he kept a positive attitude pretty much no matter what happened to him. I think with him being 25 years old and already 4 years in the league, there's absolutely no reason not to try to bring him back. He is like the Prince of Pittsburgh with how he went out there and just did all these fun things with people, going to proms with people that didn't have a date or got dumped by their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, going out there and throwing massive pillow fights with people and water balloon fights. And like, the kid just went out there and had a lot of fun. And you can't really ask for much more than that. He's never going to get in trouble with the law or anything. That's not in his nature. He's someone out there to have fun, and he's just working really hard. He spent the entire offseason last year hitting the weight room, and it showed. Because every time he caught the ball, he was breaking tackles and getting extra yards and was put in a lot of positions where he didn't have any room. So I'm all in on bringing back Juju. I do think it'll cost $15 to $17 million per year, and I do think Pittsburgh can afford it with enough restructures. They're probably already planning on restructuring both Ben Roethlisberger and Stephon Tuitt. And if you put an extension on Steven Nelson too, I think you can get far enough under the cap to swing one big contract. Just because it'll be $15, $17 million a year in that range does not mean it'll count that much against the cap either. You can do the first year so that it's only like $8 or $9 million against the cap, and then have it heavy afterwards when we have tons of cap space. So I say you got to bring him back. He's the most reliable wide receiver on the team, and he could break all of Antonio Brown's records pretty easily because of how young he is. So, Cody, what's your opinion on this one?
Don't get me wrong. I am Team Juju all the way. I'm going to be really upset if we see him go, just for the simple fact that I have a Juju jersey. I have a James Conner jersey. Both of them are probably leaving Pittsburgh. However, I think if Pittsburgh gets the opportunity, they should re-sign Juju. Don't get me wrong. I do not think Juju should leave. I do not think his on-the-field or off-the-field antics were any problem with the outcome of the year. Granted, it gave some teams fuel for the fire, but we needed to give ourselves fuel. But I am Team Juju. I just think Bud Dupree, if you can get him cheap enough, is more vital for this team with our outside linebacker depth compared to our wide receiver depth. But I know that Big Ben wants Juju back as well, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. I would love, listen, if we come out of here signing Juju and Bud, I'd be the happiest freaking person in the world. Don't see it happening, but
yeah, you got to pick one.
Basically, next guy on the list is Sean Davis, the safety who is 28 years old. I think, again, we're going to talk about another safety on this list. We might even talk about him back to back just to get them both out of the way. You're going to have to keep a safety from this free agency period, whether it's Sean Davis or Jordan Dangerfield. I think you got to keep one of them, and I think Sean Davis is probably going to be the guy, just for the simple fact that he's gotten more play time. He's 28 compared to 31. I think Sean Davis comes back.
So Sean Davis, again, to me, is at the right price. He'd be your number one backup safety, and he's the better safety, right? Jordan Dangerfield was the captain on special teams last year. That holds a lot of value. But Sean Davis can play both free and strong safety, a former second-round pick of the Steelers, who just didn't really turn into the star they were hoping. And then they brought in some guy named Minka, and, well, that kind of changed things, right? But as a backup, if you can get him to agree to a moderate deal, like $2 million or something like that, I see no reason not to bring him back. Now, Dangerfield, again, if you can bring him back on a minimum, do it, because he's really, really good on special teams. But at 31 years old, he's never going to be a guy that's going to contribute highly on defense. He is literally just your special teamer. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to move somebody like Marcus Allen into his role, just because they're similar as far as hitting safeties. And Marcus Allen being a little bit bigger, a safety linebacker hybrid. I think it's almost time that you consider weaning him out. Also with Antoine Brooks on the team now, that's going to be your only backup safety on the on the team right now. So you might want to have somebody that's got some good coverage skills, and that's Sean Davis.
Yeah, next guy on the list, I'm going to say right now, get rid of him. Jordan Berry, punter.
There's no point in bringing him back.
No.
None.
Bring in a young guy. Young guy with a big leg. We'll see what happens.
I'll tell you right now, some people are not going to like some of my mock drafts, because there's going to be a punter sprinkled in from time to time. Now, I'm not going to try to do it like the fourth round or something stupid like that, but sixth, seventh round, I absolutely think Pittsburgh should draft a punter, and it's just so that you get your pick. If you don't draft a punter, then you're out there competing with everybody else who's trying to get a second punter in camp. If you take one in the sixth or seventh round, you're getting your first pick, basically, because almost nobody drafts punters. Maybe one or two of them get drafted a year.
Yeah, and speaking of mock drafts, next week, James and I will be doing our first mock draft, and James is going to do his first one next week live on the show, and we'll be going through that with you guys as we go through that process, so it'll be really fun. Next guy on the list, outside linebacker Jayron Elliott. I think, again, this is an easy one. If he's cheap enough, bring him back.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yeah, good special teamer. Not going to be much for your defense as far as adding to the value there. He's 30 years old. He's pretty much been a backup his entire career. He's an athletic dude, but you're not going to get anything out of him really rushing the passer, so you don't expect that. This, again, if Pittsburgh drafts an outside linebacker, some of these guys just aren't going to make the team. There's not going to be enough room for all of them. You can't have Ola, Cassius Marsh, and Jayron Elliott. You're not going to keep that many outside linebackers in addition to TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. So if they draft an outside linebacker, that pushes one or two of these guys off of the list. But his special teams value is high, so you at least bring him to camp and see what happens from there. Next guy, I'm back into the same camp as I was on the second guy we talked about. This is going to be Chris Wormley. Pittsburgh was able to trade for him. Really didn't give up much at all in the process of doing so. Former Baltimore Raven and former third-round draft pick. Really, at this stage in his career, he's a good run stopper. Not much of a contributor rushing the passer.
No, he had a sack. That was it.
He had one sack. There was one game that he actually had a really good game getting after the quarterback. I will give him credit. Every other game of the year, he didn't get any pressure on the quarterback at all, and that's just kind of his MO. That's who he is. So at this stage, I would not want him back because I don't think he has any room for any growth, honestly. I don't think he's going to get any better rushing the passer at 28 years old.
No.
I would much rather have a late draft pick, a flyer on somebody, or even just moving forward with Carlos Davis and Isaiah Bugs and hoping you're able to develop them. I'd rather see that than Chris Wormley. And you never know, somebody might actually sign Wormley to a decent deal, formulate into the compensatory formula, and help Pittsburgh get some more draft picks in 2022.
Next guy on the list is an offensive guard, Danny Isadora. Again, I think this is a guy, right price, bring him back, depth at O-line. We have lost a lot of guys already this year. Obviously, we know we're drafting some and everything, but with as cheap as he could possibly be, he's only 27 years old. I think we bring him back if the price is right.
And this is another guy they grabbed off a practice squad from an opposing team. So as far as depth, if you can bring him back, I'm in. But again, just at a minimal price. I'm not paying him $2 million or anything like that. If you can get him back league minimum, do it because you need some depth on that interior offensive line because there isn't much. Next guy is going to be one of the guys that I'm strongest about on bringing him back. And the reason that I say so is I think he's probably one of the best cover guys on the entire roster right now. That's Cameron Sutton. He was the number four corner last year, had 8 pass deflections, which as a number four corner that didn't play a ton is a lot of deflections, had a forced fumble in 3 consecutive games, really has the upside of being able to play both outside and inside at the corner position. So he could be your nickel starting day one and possibly even be a guy that takes over for Joe Hayden after Joe Hayden moves on. So I'm all in on Cam Sutton. Again, if the dollar amount gets too high, they won't be able to afford it. But I think they'll be able to get Cam Sutton back on like $3 or $4 million kind of deal.
Again, I think this is going to be the biggest concern for Pittsburgh is Cam Sutton. I think he's probably one of the most vital to get back as well. I agree with you on that. He played well above where people expected him to. I think the problem we have is if someone offers him a big deal, there's no way we can compete.
Yep.
I think that's the biggest thing against it. But I am all for bringing Cam Sutton back. And then next guy on the list, James Conner.
He's the second to last guy on our list here. Obviously, us doing our podcast out of Erie, Pennsylvania, James Conner also being from Erie, Pennsylvania, we are fans of James Conner.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, his career thus far has not panned out as he would have liked. A lot of it, no fault of his own, just being injured a lot of times. The 1 year that he did have a healthy year, he went to the Pro Bowl. His potential is there. It will always be there, but he needs some good blocking. and he needs a little bit of good luck with health. I think someone will offer him more money than Pittsburgh will be willing to offer him. I think they would probably consider bringing him back at a low enough cost, but I think Connor will probably get a decent chunk of change in free agency, and Pittsburgh will probably move forward without him, unfortunately, for the Erie fans.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think James Connor, someone's going to pay him more than what Pittsburgh will be able to. Not more than what I think they'd be willing to, but with the cap as it is right now, the cap space being what it is, I don't think we can afford him. If this was next year, we'd probably offer him a bigger deal than what we probably would be able to this year. But sadly, the cap is just not in the right place, and there's too many other priorities in this 24-man free agency list. So James Connor is more than likely on his way out of Pittsburgh, sadly, and probably even Pennsylvania. I don't see Philly picking him up. So
no.
The last guy on our list, listen, football isn't rocket science, but this guy's a rocket scientist. Josh Dobbs, quarterback, only 26 years old. I think you keep him. You can't get rid of him. If, in my opinion, you can't. With the quarterback position being what it is in Pittsburgh right now, Ben not even being sure if he's coming back, Mason uncertain if he's actually starter quality or not, having the I don't even know what to call it, the toss-up that is Dwayne Haskins, and maybe even drafting a quarterback, I think you need to bring Josh Dobbs back just to give some more pressure at camp on people.
Yeah, more competition in the room. I'm also on board with that. Again, Dobbs, you can't pay him a bunch of money. You got to give him a minimal contract. But I do believe that he can push Mason Rudolph, and I do believe he's a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins. The only thing is, to me, Pittsburgh typically goes into the offseason when it's the 90-man roster with four quarterbacks. You need to have, assuming we're going to have rookie minicamp, which they usually have, they didn't this last year, but if they do this upcoming season have a rookie minicamp, you do have to have a quarterback on the roster who's either a rookie or a first-year player with a small enough amount of playing time that they qualify to compete in the rookie minicamp. Nobody on the roster right now, including Dobbs, would qualify for that. So look for them to at least bring in an undrafted guy after the draft if they don't take someone in the draft. But I would like to have Josh on the team, and I'd like to have him more than Dwayne Haskins personally.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens with this. We will keep you guys up to date with everything free agency. Again, like we said, next week we are going to be doing the mock drafts, and James will be doing his next week, probably followed by mine the following week, unless something crazy happens that we have to cover. Other than a mock draft, we'll probably do back-to-back weeks.
So in review of the free agents, the unrestricted free agents, my top three priorities if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm going to ask you to give me yours afterwards, but I'm going to give you mine first. Number one is going to be Zach Banner. I think it's ultra important that you bring Zach back. You need two starting quality tackles. Even if neither one of them have played the left position, you got to have two, and they only have one right now in a core four. So bringing back Zach Banner should be top priority. Number two, Cameron Sutton for me. And again, this is because the nickel corner is a starting position. If you're going to lose Mike Hilton, which I expect them to, Cameron Sutton has to be prioritized. Number three for me, somebody that gives you some juice on offense, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. I want Juju back, and it's not necessarily in that order. I think you probably have to prioritize Juju if you're going to get him back. But those three are the ones that I want Pittsburgh to go after prioritize-wise. What about you?
Well, mine's not going to stray too far from yours. I also have Zach Banner. I believe Zach Banner is probably the number one for me with how beat up and torn down the offensive line basically is.
And retired,
basically, yeah. And then my number two is going to be Cam Sutton. Again, that's a starting role, that nickel corner, just like you said. But then my number three goes straight to Bud Dupree. I think the depth at wide receiver is good enough, and you know they're going to draft another one.
Probably
third, fourth, fifth round. More than likely, we always do. I think that outside linebacker position is more vital to a defense that was the number one, almost, I think they were the number one defense this year in terms of obviously sacks, but they were really top five in probably every single category.
Too. Yeah, they were up there.
Bud Dupree is so vital to keeping them at that level. Even if it's that 1 year deal and you don't even play him that much, and say at the end of the year, Alex Highsmith winds up taking the starting role, I think Bud Dupree has the potential, and I think we should prioritize him over anyone else, other than those other two.
I respect your opinion on that.
I respect yours, too. We don't respect Doug's. He's a Ravens fan. But
so that brings me to my next point, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget that subscribe button, that follow button. That helps us out. And your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts are greatly appreciated. If you do one, we will absolutely shout you out on the podcast and read your review.
Yeah, and we'll read your emails and we'll read anything else you send us. Just talk to us on any platform. We appreciate the reaching out. So again, we can't thank you guys enough. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. Don't be like Doug. He's a Ravens fan. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.